We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6 today, beginning with verse 1. As we do, I'd like to ask the children, first of all, did you know that God has rules for your parents in the Bible? He has at least two. And for you who are parents, God has two rules for you as parents, and children, He has two rules for you. Now, rules are commands. They're directions. They're requirements. They're guidelines. They're orders from God. And we, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we should certainly take our orders from Him. And so God's Word gives two rules that make up the parent's responsibility in the Christian home. But before we look at those rules, we want to look at the rules that God gives to the children. One of those comes from the Old Testament and one comes from the New. As we read in the book of Ephesians, beginning in chapter 6, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." The New Testament rule that Paul gives to children is this: children, obey your parents. Now, Paul here gives God's command and instructions. And the word children here has to do with the word dependence. Now, some of you think you're probably beyond that of being a child. But the word here has to do with a dependent. Do you supply your own car? Do you supply your own shelter? Do you supply all your insurance? Do you supply all your food? Do you supply all those things? Well, if you don't, you're dependent. And this command is for you. And God is speaking here to children or dependents. And His content is this. Literally, He says, keep on obeying. I find that interesting. Evidently, the people or the children here at Ephesus were obeying their fathers and their mothers. Keep on obeying, not only now, but in the future as well. Do it. It seems that the children of Ephesus were obedient children because that's what Paul says. Children are to keep on obeying as long as they are dependent. As long as mom and dad are paying the bills or some of them, you should obey them. Obey assumes the need to hear, to understand, and listen. Literally, children are to place themselves under the hearing of their parents. Children are to listen with attentiveness and respond positively to what is said, what is heard. It means to listen with a readiness to obey what is requested and implies an inward attitude of respect and honor. Now, what does it mean to be ready to obey? Now, we don't have a lot of children here, but we have people who have been children, obviously. And you remember when we used to race? You'd have somebody say, ready, set, go. Now, we would be on our mark, we'd be ready, we'd be set, and as soon as we heard the word go, or maybe even before that, we would take off. We were ready, we were anxious to do or win the race. And that's the way this scripture reads. Children, obey your parents. Be ready, do it immediately. Do what is said. One of my father's favorite sayings was, "Son, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. And you've probably heard that from your parents. Well, you only have to say it once, and it ought to be done. Now, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." In other words, he's saying, listen to your parents, your father, and don't give up on what you've been taught. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. And when you walk, they will guide you. And when you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you're awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way to life. God's leading and teaching through parents is somewhat like a light. And on a dark night, it's essential to have a light so that you don't trip, so that you can see and don't step on a snake or whatever. You've got to see what's going on. And God's instruction through the parents and through the mother is that which guides us and directs us. And sometimes we don't know what to do. And these words will come back to us, are the instruction of our parents, and they will be a light, the scripture says. Solomon also wrote in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old." Listen to your parents. I find it interesting that when Paul wrote the book of Romans and he talked about all the bad things that were going on in the world, one of the things that he included there was not listening to parents. Listen with me, if you will, beginning in verse 28 of chapter 1. "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to debase or depraved or corrupt or ungodly minds to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents." Right there it is. And we see that in our society today in big, bold letters, disobedient to parents. Now, what are the boundaries on this? Notice it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." In the Lord, obey your parents, those who brought you into this life. Obey them in the Lord. Why? Because God said so. We read earlier in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." It means that all of this is within the sphere or the revelation of God and His Word. This is the motive that rises out of joy and favor to the Lord. It comes not only from feeling of love and gratitude for your parents, but ultimately it's because you love the Lord. Obedience first in the child's life to the parents leads to obedience to the Lord. It's somewhat like this. When you are born, you're clear over here somewhere. You're just a little infant. You're totally dependent upon the Lord, and you're to obey your parents. And as you grow and get older, you come over all the way over here to adulthood, so to speak, and you no longer obey your parents when you're on your own, but you obey the Lord. They have taught you to obey the Lord. Obeying your parents is obeying the Lord. And ultimately, you're going to be dependent upon the Lord, totally. You're not going to be dependent upon your children. You'll always be a dependent. But whether you're dependent on your child or your parents or the Lord, you're still to be an obedient person. Now, what he says here, this is right. This is right. It's right for you. It's right for the parent. And it's right for God. When you obey your parents, you are obeying God. It is because it conforms to God's will, His nature, and His holiness. That's what God wants. It's right. Now, that's the New Testament directive that Paul gives. There's an Old Testament directive which Moses gave. It's found here in verse 2. "Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise." Now, honor. What does that mean? My wife has me watching garage sale mysteries. I try to stay awake. I find out one of my grandsons has seen them all. Well, that woman on garage sale mysteries goes around to garage sales and looks at junk, and she sees something that's valuable, and she puts a price on it. That's exactly what the word honor means. It means value. Value. Value your parents. It is more than just an outward obedience. It's an inward attitude of the child toward his parents. To honor implies love and regard highly, and to show a spirit of respect and consideration. Do you ever see some children, the way they behave in a grocery line? And how's mom satisfy them? Okay, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it. And those grocers know that too, don't they? I'll tell you what. I learned respect in the grocery line. Get your hands off of that stuff. Listen, we've got all we can afford. We've got what we need. Learn to honor your parents. Regard them highly. Show respect to them. Show consideration for them. All selfish obedience or reluctant obedience is out here. It's not that if I touch that, I'm going to get killed. Or I'll give you $100 if you do this. You know, you're not bribed. Or will I, if you say, I will do it, but only because you say so. You heard about the little kid in the corner, classroom, has a dunce cap on his head. Yeah, I'm sitting in the corner, but I'm really standing on the inside. That's exactly what this word honor means. Sit on the inside and sit on the outside. Honor your parents. Have a respect for them. Have a high price on them. The reason is, Paul says it's the first commandment. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean it's the most important? I don't believe so. Does he mean it's the first commandment on the second tablet? I'm not sure that's it. Or the first commandment for the child to be taught? Or the first commandment in a rank? I don't believe it's any of those. I think it's of primary and foremost significance. Not necessarily the most important of all, but it has great significance to the child. Obedience to the parents today leads to obedience to God tomorrow. As I said before, when we learn to obey our parents, the scripture says we are obeying the Lord. And obeying our parents leads to an obedience to the Lord in the future. Now, notice what he says. That it may go well with you. Now they say, happy wife, happy life. But if you behave yourself, the scripture says you have happy life, so to speak. It says tranquility is the idea. It indicates that the behavior of the child will determine the course of life. You know, when I was disobedient, it wasn't such a happy time. My backside burned. And I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. It wasn't a happy life. But when I obeyed and learned to listen, then, sure, you can do that. Conduct will be a factor in producing prosperity. Respect for authority begins at home. Why do we see such disrespect in our society today? It's because they don't have parents to teach them and train them. Tranquility, but also longevity. Now, there were times when my dad got the belt, I didn't think I was going to live very long at all. But I understood later on, to be sure, obedience leads to longevity. You see, we lived on a farm. We weren't in the city like you people. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure if you're a decent parent, you tell your children, don't play in the street. Why don't you want your kids playing in the street? Because you don't want to have to go out there and pick them up in 3-4 pieces and take them to the hospital or take them to the morgue. You love them. You care for them. And when you obey your parents, there's a reason for that. I remember my brother. My one brother liked to hunt. I went hunting once, shot a rabbit, broke my heart, that was it. And I used the same gun. I borrowed my brother's gun. But he had a 20 gauge and he took it downstairs and we had a walkout basement and our garage was in the basement down below, walkout. And I don't know what he was doing, but somehow that gun went off, went up through the floors, into his bedroom, right through the oak wood floors, and went little BB holes all over the place. Simply because he didn't listen to my dad. Now, it could have been a lot worse. Could have been him. You have to listen to your parents. It leads to longevity of life. That's a very practical admonition that he gives here. A prosperous lifespan. But more important, the general rule here is that children who obey their parents, they live longer and they live better. It's a principle. It's not necessarily a rule. Now, listen to your parents. That's what God says. Two directives to children. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. Now, parents don't get off easy. They got a couple rules themselves. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 4. Paul writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." What's a parent to do? I've asked that myself at times. What am I supposed to do with this kid? You see, the negative was necessary because in that culture, fathers usually were strong-handed. Wife, do this. Children, do that. I mean, that's the way it was in the Roman culture. A domineering father, and that was the household. The gospel changed all that. And these Gentile fathers had to change their way of life. And Paul reminds them that the new way of life and living is now under the Lord. And this kind of life is fulfilling, and it's also empowering by the Holy Spirit of God. They are to throw off their filthy garments of the old way, the old man, and they're to put on new garments. And so our text says, fathers, listen, do not provoke your children to anger. Our text reads, fathers. But come with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. We won't have to look there. If you want to do, that's fine. Hebrews 11, 23. And here's what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. We know that story. Because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, you find there in that verse, it's translated that Moses was hidden by his parents. That word parents is the same word that's translated fathers in our text in Ephesians chapter 6. So is he talking to fathers? Is he talking to mothers? Is he talking to who? Who's he talking to? Well, it seems to include mothers. However, the fact that in verse 1, Paul uses the mere word, he uses the word fathers or parents, so to speak, it's because I believe because the father is the head of the house, he is the one chiefly responsible. He's the one to take the lead. So I believe he's directing this towards fathers, although it includes parents. And perhaps also because the father is, in certain instances, even more than the mothers, are in need of the admonition here conveyed. Oh, how easy and how fun sometimes it is to exasperate your children, isn't it? I mean, they drive you nuts. Why not you drive them nuts? Paul says, no, don't do that. He gives that directive probably more to the fathers because we need it than our wives. They're a little more compassionate. They're a little more gentle. And when Paul speaks to the fathers, he's speaking to the mothers through the head of the home. The one who is responsible for what happens in the home. My mind went to 1 Timothy chapter 3, rather, in verses 4 and 5. These are words which you will think and consider when you look at the pastor. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? In other words, submissive. His children are submissive. Now, notice the requirement. Do not provoke your children to anger. Do not provoke them to anger. The idea here is to exasperate. It's easy to exasperate a child, to get them to, you know, rouse their wrath, to get them embittered. The mere exercise of authority without sympathy or love or tenderness or any kind of demonstration of affection will do that easily. Notice, it is a warning against an iron-handed discipline that eventually breaks the spirit of the child. Not provoking them to anger involves avoiding attitudes and words and actions that would drive a child to anger and exasperation and resentment. I'm sure that all of us in our lifetime have seen children, whether in our house or some other house, who are totally exasperated and resent their parents. Paul, we read earlier in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Lest they become discouraged. Literally, what he's saying is, don't take the heart out of your child. Children, you know, they're just full of life and they're full of ambition and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Don't destroy that. You say, well, how could I do that? Some people do it by overprotection. I mean, don't get dirty. Don't climb up there. Don't do this. My land's... person like that would have never lived through us on the farm. But some parents just are so protective of their children. Can't play with him. You can't do this. You know? And yes, we're to protect them, but don't put them in a bubble where they can't even exist with other kids. It will cause what Paul says here, them to lose heart. They will be provoked to anger. Some do it by favorites. Now, we have a joke at our house, which is the favorite son-in-law, and it changes all the time. And it's a joke. But some people don't have that with their children. You remember Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And what kind of tension did that have in the home? And that happens in households. A favorite son because he's a sports guy and the other one's into music. Well, forget the arts. Be a man. And what does that do to the other kid? Or some do it by failure to make allowances for the fact that the child is growing up and has a right to have some of his own ideas and they have their own needs. Don't have to be just like dad. Don't have to be just like mom. God made them an individual creature, and they begin to think on their own. And as they get older, give them a little more slack to develop and become themselves as to what God would have them to be. Some people exasperate their children by just no hugs. Neglect. Just neglect them. Others, by bitter words and outright physical cruelty is another way you can drive them away. Or, this one's so easy, finding fault. Nobody can wash a car like Dad. You missed that spot. You didn't do this. Look at this. Finding fault, driving the poor child to anger. Or, by inconsistency. Ah, Dad's this way one minute and he's that way another. Or unreasonableness. Another way you can drive your child to anger. Being totally unreasonable. Now notice what the parents are to do. That's what they're not to do. But look what they're supposed to do. Bring them up. The word there is nourish. Bring them up to maturity. Some of you may like gardening. It's okay. You know, you dig the soil up, you put down the right fertilizer, you dig a row and you plant the seeds just right, and sometimes you have to thin them a bit. You always constantly have to pull weeds and you till it and so forth, and you keep the animals away, and you do everything. That's my garden. I mean, that's more important than my children sometimes, you know. Nourish, you take care of your garden. The idea is do the same thing with your children. Sometimes you have to pull some weeds, but you also have to nourish and hug and give direction and care for. Kids are like a garden. They're like a plant. They need to be watered. They need to be fed. They need to have the weeds pulled, and they need to have some sunshine, and they need to have some rain. They need some gentle greenhouse environment. And you give them that greenhouse environment, especially when they're little, and then you begin to let them play outside the greenhouse, maybe just take them in at night, so to speak, to keep them from the frost, till eventually they can be out by themselves. So he says, nourish them. Put in their mind is the word. Put in their mind. To place or put in their mind implies teaching what the Lord's ways are through his word. It's also any word of encouragement or reproof which leads to correct behavior. It conveys the idea of giving one counsel about avoiding or stopping something that, you know, if you're going to continue to do this, this is what's going to happen. You know, warn them, nourish them. And you teach them through God's word. So bring them up, nourish them. Notice what else he says. He says, in the discipline. The word discipline in some translations is admonish. It's a strong word, which indicates even punishment if necessary. It's the whole training. It's the education of the child. It includes the care and training that they need. Whatever an adult is to become, that's what you need to instill into your child. It's interesting. The word discipline has to do with biblical chastisement as well as instruction, which increases them in their virtues. So it's these words kind of mix together, because the word instruction comes really from the idea of verbal instruction. So in the word discipline you can have the action, so to speak. You can set the example. But in the word instruction, you give verbal instruction. In the word instruction in the Lord, it's teaching them, literally to place in their mind. It means to confront with a clear, forthright instruction. And sometimes you just got to get the child face to face, and you have to say, look, this is the way it is. This is what the Bible says. And if you don't do that, we're going to have some differences. But it also means just training them, teaching them as you go through life. I remember one time I was first grade, and I said something that I heard on the bus. And it wasn't something that I should have heard nor said. And my father handled that so great. He said, son, do you know what you just said? I said, yeah. You know what that means? No. Well, let me show you. And he showed me. That settled it right there. We're done. Great instruction. And notice, all this instruction is of the Lord. The Lord himself stands behind this kind of training. The scripture says, you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, that's not a promise. That's a proverb. But that's the directive that we should go. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, we learn the fact that God gives instruction to children, two rules, and he also gives instruction to parents, two rules. Now, we have the obligation and the responsibility to do so. Now, here's how I was going to close the service. I'm not going to do that because I was going to have the kids come down here, but we don't have hardly any, you know. And I'm sure the big kids wouldn't want to come down here. The big dependents. So here's what I'm going to have you do. If you're a dependent, whether you're a little dependent or a big dependent, I want you to pray. And if you're a parent, I want you to pray. And if you're none of the above, I want you to pray for your kids, your grandkids, or some kid in here, or some parent in here. But I'd like you just to bow your heads for a minute and ask the Lord to apply to your own heart, whether you're a child, whether you're a parent, or whether you have grandchildren or whatever, just ask the Lord to apply these things to your own heart as God would have it done. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. It is God's word. It's God's directive. And he doesn't want us to just be mean to us as children and make us obey our parents. But as we learn to submit to authority in the home, so too we learn to submit to authority outside the home when we get on our own. Thank you for parents who care enough for their children to teach them that. And Father, help each child to learn that so that it may go well with them, that they might have peace in their lives and harmony between themselves and their parents and between their future bosses and themselves and whatever relationship it might have. And then, Father, too, for parents, sometimes we get tired and we're exasperated and we in turn exasperate our children. Help us to realize what a valuable gift you've given to us and that you've given to us these lives to nurture and to discipline and instruct in the way of the Lord. And Father, we pray that you would help each child to place a high value on their parents, to honor them and to love them because they care so much for them. They provide for them. They sacrifice in ways that maybe those children will never know. So, Father, help children to obey their parents and honor their parents. And we pray that you would help fathers and parents not to exasperate their children, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord so that others might see a difference. And so, above all, you might see the difference, that you might bless and encourage each parent and each child here today, for we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.